You're listening to the Asbury Reader audio commentary with Reverend J.D. Walt interviewing Dr. Ellsworth Callis, as Dr. Callis gives us insight into Jesus' Sermon on the Mount.
We're going to talk about the Sermon on the Mount and some of your own history of preaching it and writing on it. Ran the Google search on you before I came in. There's Ellsworth Callis Beatitudes all over the internet. So, I'm not sure how to break into it all, but Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and how that's set within its larger context. And I'm here to listen.
You ask how I preached the Sermon on the Mount. I'm at a point in my life, of course, typical of someone who's lived a few years, where I'm beginning to say, how would I have done it differently if I had it to do over again? And generally, I can handle that from the point of view that I know well enough how many mistakes I've made, or at least I know a lot about them, enough to burden me. What I have had to say after it all is that I thank God I am where I am at this point in my life. And so I thank the Lord for taking the stuff that we give him with our lives and making something out of it. When it comes to specifically what I've preached, I have a lot of wishes now about how I had done it better. And when we speak specifically then of the Sermon on the Mount, I regret that I never preached an entire series on the Sermon on the Mount. I preached on the Beatitudes, but that's hardly enough. And I never preached a full series or a full, Sunday after Sunday from the Sermon on the Mount, which is bad. And it is because with all of my intention of covering the gospel from its roots in Genesis to its climax in Revelation, I neglected the fact of proper emphasis on the kingdom of God. I appreciate the fact that you did a lot with this in some of these earlier studies, because I'm just really overwhelmed by the truth that we're supposed to be a kingdom people and that we aren't simply waiting for Jesus to come one day and take over this world and establish his kingdom. He's expecting us to be doing the kingdom right now. And the Sermon on the Mount is, in my judgment, is really the inaugural speech for the kingdom of heaven. It's as if Jesus were saying, you've heard me say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, here's the way it's going to be now that we're entering the kingdom. And I think it's significant even in this little preliminary language, saying that Jesus, the crowd around, he went up on a mountain, and the disciples followed him. I gather from the end of the story, at the beginning then of chapter 8, that the people had followed too. But the thing that strikes me is that he did go up on a mountain to say it. It's almost as if he made that natural elevation his throne and said, here's the way it's going to be in this kingdom. So I wish I had done more with that, with kingdom preaching in general, and with, therefore, the Sermon on the Mount in particular. This is the beginning of the confessions of Ellsworth Callis about what he should have done better, one of many things.
So, thinking about there's not a lot of preaching. I mean, John Wesley preached a lot of sermons on the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
But you don't hear it preached too much. I don't hear it much. E. Stanley Jones made the comment that you can recite the creeds of the church and be unaffected, and how the church might be different had we said, I believe in the Sermon on the Mount.
I hadn't remembered or heard that statement from E. Stanley Jones, but that's vintage Stanley Jones, all right, because that's really the way he believed. and tried to practice. He tried to live that way. This is what our Lord came. So when we recite the creed and say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, I believe in the resurrection of the dead, the communion of saints, all of this is the stuff of this kingdom at work. And it is the Sermon on the Mount then that's going to bring it to pass.
So if you were, and as a preacher, you constantly are self-critical after you preach and you think.
Yeah.
So you think, you look back and you think, I wish I'd done more with that. If you were going to approach it now with all of your history and experience, how would you approach it in a 21st century congregation?
I would, first of all, make clear that the Sermon on the Mount is to be taken seriously. It is not just an ideal that we can't attain. It isn't Mother Teresa. It's all of us. And I would preach it seriously so that I would go through the agonies in preparation of saying, how much dare I say if I'm going to try to fulfill what I'm saying to my people? And how can I make my people know that I'm not writing an essay, I am writing a declaration of the kingdom? That is the first part I think I'd want to know if I went into preaching the Sermon on the Mount. I came across a statement, not related particularly to the Sermon on the Mount, actually to the whole Gospel of Mark, in my reading just this week, because I'm reading right now William Plecker's, the late William Plecker, commentary on Mark. Remarkable man, obviously, and I wish I could have known him. But I copied down something for my own good, and when you asked me to be with you today, I picked it up again. Because he said about the Gospel of Mark, to put the matter colloquially, biblical scholars often seem to stop just when they get to the good stuff. Christians don't primarily read Mark, I am assuming, to learn about Koine Greek or first century history, but to learn about Jesus, what he means to us, what he tells us about God, and what we learned from him about how to live. And that's true. And it's very easy to do a scholarly interpretation of the Sermon on the Mount, where we explain how it relates to the Old Testament and what it meant in the first century and all of that sort of thing. And all of us go home well-educated pagans. And the Sermon on the Mount is to make Christians of us. Not just that we have declared that we accept him as Lord, but that now we're living a kingdom kind of life. So that, too, would be the passion of my preaching if I were going to preach through the Sermon on the Mount. I think it'd be wonderfully exciting to take this on. And I would say that it would be a great thing for all the lectionary preachers to leave the lection for a period of some months and take the Sermon on the Mount instead and say, I hope before this series is over to bring in some elements of the kingdom. I may not bring it all in, but I'd like to bring a lot of the kingdom in these next 3, 4, 5 months, however it would take. That's the way I'd approach it if I were going to do it now.
Make sure you join us again soon as Dr. Ellsworth Callis continues his audio commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. This audio has been brought to you by AsburySeedbed.com, the new resourcing network from Asbury Theological Seminary, launching in January 2012. Thank you for listening.